The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Log Talk Radio.
This is Grover Weaver speaking. We're speaking to you live from the city of Fort Worth, Texas, on this here beautiful Monday. It is a blessed day. It's December the 12th, 2011, and we're moving closer and closer to a day when we'll be celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we're excited about that. We're looking today to talk from the fair as we did the last week. Fair is fair and wrong is wrong. Day is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice in it and be glad. We introduced this subject last Friday, and we want to add an addendum to it today. It is, can America judge President Obama righteously? As we watched last night on the 60 Minutes TV show, it featured an in-depth interview with the president, and he spoke of his hope for a second term. I had been, as a lot of people had been, waiting for him to come before the American people and ask for a second chance and make the case for why we should trust him again. And I think he started laying down a narrative for what is ahead for this nation when he met last week in Kansas. I'm not going to try to not pronounce that little town in Kansas where President Theodore Roosevelt made it famous after his administration when he came forth and spoke to the people and the nation about a new nationalism. But the president went there to talk about the income inequality and the fight that's going on against the middle class. It's class warfare at its best. And I can understand how people don't want to talk about class warfare, but a poor man such as myself, well, we certainly can talk about class warfare. We can talk about how the president is in a battle that's being fought by against him by the people who oppose him. And we know that there are two parties basically in this country, and we can say there's two opinions, and the nation is kind of off between these here two opinions. And some of it is philosophical and ideology. I understand that, but you got to also admit that this is a racist country. It has a racist history. And we would be deceiving ourselves and it would be very naive to think that racism does not play a part in the opposition and the problem that the president has encountered. From day one, you had the extreme, the father of this racist attack against him in the form of Rush Limbaugh, said that he was hoping that he would fail. And then in lockstep unison, these here extreme redneck right-wing people start coming forth, and I judge them by a right-wing extremist redneck is based upon what proceedeth out of their mouth. Yet Mitch McConnell said that our number one goal, my number one goal is to make Obama a one-term president. We see at how they have approached every policy and appointment that the president has put forth. They have made it possible for him to work with his hands behind his back and then accuse him of being incompetent. I saw the poll this morning. It was aired on Morning Joe, MSNBC talk show that's analyzed by this informal conservative GOP representative. 75% of the people are against say that this here country is on the wrong track. And 51% of the people do not think that he deserves a second term. But these here same people that don't believe that he deserves a second chance, when you pit him up against the two front runners in the Republican primary, Mitch McConnell, Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney, he beats them. And when you look at a place like South Carolina and put him ahead there, you know that the electorate is confused. And we wonder, will they judge this man fairly? Most of the people don't believe that the situation that we're in, he caused it. They contribute to the danger to the banks, and that's they don't want to acknowledge it, but that's why the Occupy Wall Street moves resonate so much across this country, because these young people who have had their ear to their listening ear tuned to what's going on, because many of them just coming out of school, they've debated it in the halls of education, and they know actually what took place, that how Paulson, the Secretary of Treasury, and George Bush, how they brought it to Congress, and how Congress agreed to it. And then when the president agreed to it and took it to the people and presented it, then the Republican flipped the script on it. And it's just like he told the interviewer in 60 Minutes, if I'm for it or against it, that's kind of that makes it all where you know where the position is of his opponent. If he for it, they're against it. If he for it, he's against it. They are against it. If he's against it, they're for it. And these here measures, that these policies that he has put forth, are the same thing that in time past they have went forth. All the things that Obama has done, they had been for it first. But when he took it up, they was against it. They were for health care, the Nixon, Roosevelt. They were for the mandate. And when he took it up, they was against it. And with him winning it, then they were so much against it. And they went out and told lies, humongous lies about how it was going to do this. And I say they lie when you lie when you don't tell the people all the truth. When you go out and use erroneous figures and fake groups and say that these groups are saying this here and saying that, and so therefore that's why I'm against it, and you know it. One of the things that have came forth in this here political season is they come out with this fact check. thing. So I kind of watched and followed that closely. They fact check and see how many lies was told in the GOP debate. And a serial liar, a deceiver, is Michelle Bachmann. She'll just say things and you know it's not true. And when people respond to her in a negative way, like she went up on the Jimmy Fallon, and they played this here raunchy tune on. Oh, she was so offended. They can't understand why, because they don't go nowhere, Fox News and do that talking, and so when they are somewhere else and say something, because Fox News will let them just say and do anything that they want to. On Fox News, when they all went before this here Republican, and I'm talking about the candidates for president, the GOP candidates, when they went before this here Republican Jewish group, they all used this word that Frank Luntz gave them and say appeasement. As many times as you can say it, Romney came up there. And Romney used to was kind of like, they've always been political, but it's something about that white man, that Mormon, that, because like he said, I've never been poor. Well, he have never suffered a hard day in his life other than the people did not believe his campaign and elect him senator over Senator Kennedy. People never just liked him. There's something liking about him. So it's hard for him to get up and do this emotional kind of thing because he's been so wrapped up and tied up and tangled up into this here Mormonism. That only thing that he ever been rejected about when somebody slammed the door in his face and said, get that witchcraft away from me, perhaps. But he has never been poor. And he showed how his out of touch when, being a billionaire, he attempted to bet $10,000, but yet he would say that the $1,500 that the 165 million people would get in the tax break, the payroll tax break, if they extend it again temporarily, he thought that $1,500 was mere chicken feed, he called it a temporary band-aid kind of thing. But yet he has the audacity when he want to make a point, what's significant to him is $10,000. And to give credence to that picture I saw that was out on the internet, that when he was working at Bain Capital, he had money just running out of his gazoo, all out of his pockets. I mean, they are separating because he has destroyed jobs, and he and his group have made millions for putting people out of work. But yet he called himself a job creator, someone that understands the economy. So it's kind of like what Obama said to his interviewer in the 60 Minutes interview. It's going to be very stark between the Democrats, Democratic agenda and the Republican agenda. And Obama thinks it's going to be a good choice and it's going to be a good debate. Because it's not like the Republicans are putting forth any new agenda. They're still talking about a smaller government, less regulation, and that will create jobs. But it's kind of like Ed Schultz, and he's the Ed Schultz show that shows each week night at 8 o'clock on MSNBC. I guess you kind of know by now that my favorite cable show, my favorite TV program are the programs that's on MSNBC. But he said, call them job creators, and if they were job creators, if they are job creators, where are the jobs? They've had this here tax break for the last 10 years, and we had the worst in the last 10 years. Things have gotten worse, but the things have been worse for the last 10 years. And they'll say Obama made it worse, but then they misread that it's been worse in the last 10 years. But now the data is coming forward. When we talk about income inequality, that goes back 30 years. And it's not the thing that this country needs is jobs. But it's not, it is, we had jobs because you take a job when the income of the workers are on a straight line, and the job creators, the CEOs and these people here, income have went up 275% in the last 10 years, I mean in the last 30 years. And now people are looking at that there's something fundamentally unfair with this system. When you work hard, do what you're told, and play by the rules, and you can't not make it work for you. And you can't make it work because these job creators are creating jobs out of the country because it's cheaper and they can make more money. That's the whole purpose of having someone in office like Obama and giving him a second term to deal with this here. That's why it's so important to have this election. It's important to have this election that's coming up in 2012, because I'm telling you, if this election don't change things, if it doesn't change anything, and things remain the same, and you get your right number of Democrats and your right number of Republicans, and let's just say the Republicans take all houses of Congress, the legislature, the House, and the Senate, and get the White House. Boy, what do you think going to happen? Do you think, and this is just a look at this scenario. Do you think that the Democrat, that somebody in the Senate, going to stand up and filibuster? The Republicans need the same 60 votes to get anything done. So we're just going to be entrenched into that. And nobody's going to roll over and play dead. And if they do it, and if the income inequality gap continue to rise, then I'm submitting to you today that you are going to have civil unrest. You're going to have civil unrest. Blood going to be spilled. The end of this country as you know it will have ceased to be if this here right-wing, right extremist political movement takes over all the political outlets. And the people that have nothing, when they move in, they're going to take away food stamps. They're going to take away health care. And they're going to cut the federal government, so you ain't going to have jobs at that level. And only the jobs going to be is the jobs that you have in the private sector. And the private sector the jobs that they have, your working condition going to be bad. The water is not going to be good to drink. The air is not going to be fit to breathe. And the working conditions are going to be a hazard to your health. And they're going to be pocketing all that they can, and everything that the government been used to doing, they're not going to do it. Old folks such as myself going to be thrown out into the street and left to die. And that's what you're going to get, because I truly believe you're doing it because you're racially, because there's a lot of racial prejudice that's still into this city, that they're willing to cut off their nose to spite their face. They're willing to hurt their own kind because their own kind and skin color are willing to vote against their better judgment, their own self-interest, in order to propagate this, you know, white is right ideology and do away with this black man who many thinks Rush Limbaugh, that he's a uppity black man and he don't know his place. And so the people that have money, and it's going to be a lot of money spent, trust me. And the money that's going to be spent in this election to change the reign of this here government could have been used to uplift this country and take out of poverty its members. But that's not what they are willing to do. Well, fair is fair and wrong is wrong. Right is right and wrong is so wrong. Now, will a president be righteously judged? Will he be judged fairly? What we have to determine, according to the Bible, according to Scripture, is we ought to look at the tree and inspect the fruit that it bears. As I say, we know what the Republican fruit tree, how it is bad, it put us in this fix, and if nothing else, the same fruit will come from the same tree, and we'll have the same thing. Obama has, in his efforts, and whether anyone want to believe it or not, but he has avoided another Great Depression. He bailed out the auto industry, and, you know, the Mitt Romneys and all the right-wing extremists said, no, don't do it, let it go bankrupt. He has extended health care to over 70 million people. And in time, all of that will come about. And what they don't tell you about is that they say that it's going to kill jobs for small businesses. But 35% of all the insurance costs that a company spends to implement the Affordable Health Care Act is a tax deduction. It's deductible. He has made it possible for homosexuals to serve in their democracy, because a homosexual vote is the same vote as a heterosexual. We have decided that all men are created equal, and contrary to what a homosexual think they are, the male homosexuals are men and the women are women. So a man and a woman got one vote. And in a democracy, you got to honor that. And I'm deeply religious. I'm a fundamentalist Christian, and I know what the scriptures say, and I know what we preach. But when you walk out of the church house, the temple, and the cathedral, and go into the halls of Congress, you're in a different place. That's because we have allowed that to be, and that's the way we have decided it to be. Now, we would have been as entrenched in our arguments as many of us want to be now and said to the Jews, this is a Christian nation and Jesus Christ is our follower, and you be cool, and this is what we do here, but we didn't. So we said religion can't come into place. And now we're so afraid that Islam's the Sharia law gonna be put in place. So now we don't, you know, we're all the way out there. So, but we have made it possible because of our constitution that what's fair is right. And what we preach and teach in our mosques and in our churches and in our synagogues and our temples and places of worship, we can preach that because we had the freedom to do that. And we can be influenced by our doctrine when we vote, but we cannot use that to our doctrine and write it into law and restrict the nut. Now that's understandable. That's understandable. But we have a lot that we can be proud of what Obama done. They talked about he appeased the Jews and allowed the Palestinian and New Guinea's come and said that the Palestinians are an invented people, and that was a damn lie. Even a document in 1917 when it set it forth to use the word Palestinian and Palestine, and there it is in the Bible as well. So here's this here Catholic. He's a new convert to faith while he's reading all of these here historical references on how he can get $100 million by cashing in on a $100 million tab for his past political experience, then he should be reading and understanding what his catechism say to him as well, that's based upon the scripture. Well, I'm digressing, and I don't, and because I have said pretty much all that I want to say today. This is Grover Weaver. I'm speaking to you from Fort Worth, Texas. I pray that America will judge the president fairly. And I am convinced that if it is fair, then he will have a second term. At least that's our prayer to God and heart desire. In Jesus' name.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.